and Matthew. And that will carry us through now. The first reading is replaced because the church wants us to hear about Barnabas. And so we have a passage from Acts. Tomorrow we'll start. We won't start. We'll start reading it, but we'll already be in 2 Corinthians by then. And we're, after all the preparatory material in Matthew, the church starts in a way where Matthew starts, to proclaim the preaching and the teaching of Jesus, which is a remarkable feature of Matthew's gospel. He has these five discourses, probably modeled after the five books of the Torah. And this is the first one. This is the foundation. What our Lord is telling us is that we're blessed because God has begun to teach us. Blessedness is not first the result of human activity. It's a result of God's choice. Many times we read phrases like, "Blessed are they whose God is the Lord." Well, did you choose God or did God choose you? Blessed are you because God gave you faith. Blessed are you that God forgave your sins. That's blessed. And at the root of all of these here is that notion. You are blessed because God is working in your life. On the other hand, in all of these, there is as well the call. Ancient philosophy, not so much today, we're too busy with details. The great issue. What should I do to be happy? What is the meaning of my life? How do I attain happiness? Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, that was the issue. Happiness. Somehow, even in our teaching after a while, whenever it began to happen, 16th, 17th, maybe earlier centuries, the idea was, moral theology is, what's the law? That never was the question. The teaching of the church is, in dependence upon and in imitation of Jesus, this is the way to happiness. Even the great philosophers, you know, their culminating work was always on life in the polis, life in the city, politics, not in our sense of manipulation, but in the sense of how do we relate, because that is the way to happiness. So what our Lord is teaching us here is two things. One, blessed are you if the Lord has given you the gift to be poor in spirit, and you have accepted it and begun to work with it. It's both. But it's a gift first. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, because that's the whole point. The kingdom is theirs. And of course, there's books and books and books written. Well, why does he say poor in spirit and Luke only say poor? And we won't get into all that because I want to look at two others. It really means the opposite of puffed up. You know, blessed are they who are flat. They're poor in their spirit. They're just not puffed up. That's the kingdom. So who's first in the kingdom on that basis? Jesus. And after him, Mary. Because they are poor in spirit. But I wanted to look at two others today. Blessed are the merciful. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's a very strong one. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not think, it might be a nice idea. but the hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the righteousness is God's righteousness. I want God's righteousness to take over my whole life. That means moving out a lot of stuff that I'm attached to, which is wrong. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. God's righteousness in my being. Then I can see how to bring righteousness to this world. If I go out campaigning for social righteousness, social justice, and I don't have a pure heart, I'm just one more disturbing factor. And I'm probably doing all that to build up my own ego. That's not the way to go. Underlying so much of that, and the Lord honors that, they're trying, is what? I want to get rid of all suffering. Why? Because it bothers me. What's it got to do with it? No, because it bothers them. That's a whole different perspective. And it gives a whole different way that people go about this. But the righteousness is God's righteousness. What are my attitudes? What are my interests? What goes on in my head all day? Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Have I entered the spiritual battle against my own stupid thoughts and impulses or not? And then, do I want to see the righteousness of God? Suppose God were to come down. Suppose our Lord Jesus Christ come down today and stand in the middle of the world, and the whole world would see him. And he were to say, I am the judge. I am the king. There will be righteousness in this world. And he brought it about. Of course he would. He's God. Just think of it. Just think of it. You see, the king brings righteousness. Hearts change. People respect one another. They want righteousness. Uprightness. When we say justice nowadays, we usually think of lawyers and lawsuits and stuff, and that's why they use the word dikaiosyne, which is justice, but it's righteousness. To be right, upright, to hunger and thirst for that. Surely, the first part of that blessedness is that the Holy Spirit gives it to us, that hunger and that thirst. And the second part is that we yield to that work and let it take place in our lives. Righteousness. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. That's when, now, we're trying to implement God's plan. Because Jesus has not come down to establish the kingdom yet. He's doing it in us. And so, we have to work for righteousness, which is first, faith. Believe in Jesus. Obey him. And then act in a way that is righteous. And if you try that, you probably get persecuted. Blessed are you. Blessed are the merciful. Mercy is a gift. Blessed are the generous. Not only generous with their money, which is very important, I got a lot, somebody else doesn't have anything. I mean, am I generous? Blessed are the merciful. But it's also, obviously, mercy means the other person has no right to it. Like us. We have a right to be saved. We have a right that the Son of God come down and die horribly in order to free us from sin. We have a right to it. Of course we don't. It's a pure gift. Well, let's look at our thoughts in the day. How merciful are they? How giving, how generous are they? Are we judging? Are we angry? Are we merciful? End of the day, we examine our conscience and we ask for mercy. Well, did we give it? It's a gift. Not going to get it back. They don't deserve it. Oh, of course not. Not only I forgive you, but in my heart, what's going on? What kind of judgments am I making? What kind of condemnations do I offer from my little judge's bench inside my head? Blessed are the merciful. Why? Because mercy will be shown to them. Blessed. So again it starts. Blessed because you have received mercy. Pure gift from God. And now as you let that gift take over your whole heart, blessed are you, because now you are on the way to happiness.